Bibles, please open them to Ezra chapter 7. Ezra chapter 7, we're going to read verses 6 through 10 together. Ezra is before Nehemiah and Job and Psalms, kind of towards the middle of your Bible there. It's not a well-known book of the Bible to some, but has a great truth in it that I want to give today. Ezra chapter 7, we're going to read verses 6 through 10 together. And we'll read this passage responsively. I'm waiting. I hear lots of pages turning, so I'll be. It's the Bible college students that can't find it. That's what bothers me. Right, Rob? You knew that was going to happen sitting on the front, didn't you? No, I know where they're going to college. I know where they're going to college. It's the right one. They just haven't taught them where it's at yet. All right, Ezra chapter 7, we're going to read verses 6 through 10. We'll read this passage responsively. This Ezra went up from Babylon, and he was a ready scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given. And the king granted him all his request according to the hand of the Lord his God upon him. And there went up some of the children of Israel, and of the priests, and the Levites, and the singers, and the porters, and the Nethinims unto Jerusalem in the seventh year of Artaxerxes the king. And he came to Jerusalem in the fifth month, which was in the seventh year of the king. For upon the first day of the first month began he to go up from Babylon, and on the first day of the fifth month came he to Jerusalem, according to the good hand of his God upon him. And let's finish on verse 10. Ready? For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. And let's pray. Father, we sure do need you today. Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you'd anoint these lips, anoint my mind. And Lord, may I say exactly what you have for your people today. Lord, I've never asked you to preach a great sermon. I have asked you to help me communicate truth to help your people. So please meet the need of each and every person in this room today. Please, in Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. Let me make one more request, and I failed, and it's my fault. A dear friend of mine, Pastor Flores, down in Miami, Florida, Brother Alex Flores, my son, works for him. Brother Flores has had total kidney failure. His heart is not doing well. They put a catheter in to do dialysis a few weeks ago. It did not work, so they had to try to reposition it. That didn't work. They tried to go in and re-put it in while he was in surgery. That did not work. So they were rescheduling him for surgery. It looked like Saturday was all a go for all of his numbers. Saturday morning early, they did some final testing and found out he wasn't ready again. So you just pray. He is on the kidney and heart transplant list. He's 35 years old. Has three small children. I think the oldest is 9, maybe 10. But you talk about a couple that just hasn't given up. His dear wife just as encouraged. Saturday morning, she texted me. She said, praise the Lord. She said, just been praying for God's will to be done. She said, and if it was not to happen, we needed confirmation. And praise the Lord, he brought it through. It looked like everything was a go, but he has other plans. And so you pray for them, if you will. We sent a plant down there from our church, and my son was in his room yesterday, and he said, Dad, you'll never know what that one plant did for he and his wife. Just to know somebody outside their church was thinking about and praying for them. And I've promised them that we're praying, so just so you know, pray for Brother Flores, amen, and pray for their church. All right, here we are, Ezra chapter 7. Ezra is a man of God. Ezra is a scribe, and a scribe in the Old Testament was a person who their whole profession was copying the Word of God. They didn't have printing presses like we do today. They obviously did not have computers like we do today. And he became an expert in the first five books of the Bible. It talks about the law of Moses.
scribes would, they wouldn't necessarily copy the whole word of God, but they became proficient in certain areas. That way they repeated it over and over and over and less likely to have any errors. And they always compared it to make sure that it was passed down perfectly. And let me say this, we have a complete perfect copy of the word of God. The King James Bible is the word of God.
Amen.
It is not inspired in its original. It still is inspired. God is eternal. Can I tell you something? Jesus is the Word of God. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, capital W. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Verse number 14 says, and the Word, capital W, was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's talking about Jesus. May I say this, if we don't have the complete word of God, Jesus is dead and was not the Son of God.
Yep.
Be careful, these people say, well, I believe that King James was fine in its original manuscript. They got holes in their head big enough to drive a truck through. God not only inspired it, He preserved it, and it still is as much alive today as it was in heaven. And by the way, He didn't use man to write it. He used man to pen it down. God didn't put the thoughts into man's mind and man put them on paper. God gave him word for word what to say. This week, my secretary typed a few letters for me, and she's been trained well. She'll type them, mistakes and all. And I told her, I said, if I've got mistakes, either A, let me know, or B, type them in and I'll fix them when I proofread it, but I don't want you changing my words. No. If I put it down there, you type it, and then we'll haggle through it later, but if you have a question, you can mark it, and I'll look at it when it goes out for final print, but don't change what I say.
That's right. Yeah.
Can I tell you something? If God only gave man the thoughts, man's mind is sinful, and we have a sinful copy of the Word of God, and we don't have a sinful copy of the Word of God.
Amen.
Here in Ezra 7, it's not Ezra saying, it's God saying. Okay, just thought I'd throw that in for free. That wasn't even in my notes yet. But Ezra is a man of God, and you have to understand, much of the Bible in the Old Testament is revolving around, it's okay, little ones are learning to sit in church, amen? It's okay, we've all been there. Matter of fact, they drug me out that way more than once. I won't tell you where we went, but I didn't like going there for a while. Nah. Listen to this very carefully. Much of the Bible centered around a 70-year period called the captivity, the Babylonian captivity. For 490 years, the Jews disobeyed the Sabbath. They didn't keep the Sabbath day. They didn't keep the Sabbath years. And God gave them 490 chances to get it right. They would not. So the books of Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel are talking about the impending doom that's coming if they don't repent. If they don't change and go back to doing this, God is going to judge them. Then you have Lamentations, and that's after they were taken captivity by Babylon. And then you had during the 70 years, God took 1 year for every Sabbath that was missed. There were 70 Sabbaths missed. Now, listen very carefully here. God judged them. When the Babylonians came in, they destroyed the city of Jerusalem. The Bible says there wasn't one stone left upon another. They literally leveled the buildings. There wasn't one brick left put together with the other bricks. And it laid there in ruin for 70 years. Now, think about this. That's just like saying if when we bombed Hiroshima in 1946, that we didn't touch it till today. That's what it would have been like. It was just laid totally waste, and they didn't touch it for 70 years. But after that 70 years was over, God brought up a man named Nehemiah to go back out of captivity, and he and the Jews went and they built the wall back around the city of Jerusalem. After Nehemiah did that, God brought up a man named Ezra, which is where we're at today, to go back and build the temple so that the people could go back and build their homes and re-inhabit Jerusalem. Now, listen to me very carefully here. Ezra was used by God, and look at me if you will. I know we got a little bit of noise, but it's okay. We're big people. We can listen, right? All right. If I can keep my attention, you should listen to me, all right? Now, God used Ezra to lead a bunch of people that had been enslaved for 70 years to go back and build this temple. It was God's house. The Old Testament word temple, the New Testament word church are similar. They're not exact, but I'm going to use it interchangeably because it was the place they went to learn about God and the Word of God. All right? It is not the exact word as church, but it's very similar. That's why you'll see some churches, some Baptist churches like the Canton Baptist Temple or the Massillon Baptist Temple. I'm not sure it's exactly the way it should be, but I'm not going to fuss with them over it. I just believe in the word church because it's a New Testament thing. Jesus didn't say, upon this rock I'll build my temple. He said, upon this rock I'll build my church. Amen. And he was the fulfillment of what the temple represented. That's why he started the church in the New Testament. But I'm not going to argue over anybody over that. All right? Now, let me say that to say this. Grace Baptist Church today is about to face what Ezra faced. We have a temple to build. We have a church to build. And by the way, we're building on land that is about as desolate as Jerusalem was. If you haven't driven by those 4 acres out there on Charlestown Road, it's pretty wild. It had a tree nursery on it, and they had a couple little tent-type buildings on it, but I don't think there's ever been a building on that piece of property. Praise the Lord, they had enough foresight, and they've already dug the water retention for us. The well's already been dug, and all the driveways and the turn lanes have been put in for us, and they're going to accept that for us, so we don't have to spend $200,000 to $300,000 to put those things in. And we're getting four acres of property for $89,000. Property in that area is going from $100,000 to $150,000 per acre. I sat down at a bank this week, and he said, "Pastor, do you realize?" I said, "I do." He said, "Do you know how much that would cost?" I said, "I do." I said, "You put those three things together, there's over $200,000 to $250,000." He said, "Minimum." He said, "I just don't understand." I said, "You don't know God like I do." I said, "God's dropped this in our lap. That's why you're going to help me get a loan to build my building on this property." I said, "I have instant equity." He said, "I'm starting to see that." I said, "That's why you're going to loan me the money to help build my building, correct?" And you really don't want to do hard business with me. These guys start getting nervous when I walk in. Now, I want you to know something. A building is not going to make Grace Baptist Church. A building does not make a church. A building is a place to meet for us to reach people. A church is people, not a structure. Now, we need the structure. We've got everything to fill it. We've got all of the chairs. We've got PA equipment. We've got our baptistry. We've got everything we need to fill it. We've got nursery equipment. It's all stored all over the place. We have everything in the world we need. I just got to have a place to park it all and have church, you know, so that we're not sitting shoulder to shoulder smelling everybody's sweat. Now, I'm not going there. There's too many things. Y'all are just thinking way too fast for me right now. Now, I have to tell you this. Just so you know, we're not like the liberals, and we got to create an atmosphere with the building. We've got the Holy Spirit and God's people to create the atmosphere. We don't need a building. We're not going to build some big ornate palace with stained glass windows. We don't need those things to have a church building. We're building a plain rectangular building with Sunday school space, auditorium space, space to move a little bit when we break out some walls. And we've already got the second building planned where it's going and approved by the county as well. You say, why? Because we're going to fill that one up and build another one and fill it up too. Now, I say that to say this. The church building is a tool. Just like you men that would use a wrench, or you ladies that'll use your frying pan to beat your husband in the head with. It's a tool. And it is a tool for us to meet the needs of the people. Now, God gave us, just like he did in the days of Ezra, an unlikely leader to lead us. Me. I hate to tell you something. There's a lot of people out there that don't expect us, don't want us, and we're not supposed to be succeeding. But guess what? It's not us, it's God. You know, the world does not want us to succeed. You know, that liberal Christianity does not want us to succeed. But I'll be honest with you, I don't give a rip what they think. This is God's church. This is God's house. This is God's work. We'll do it God's way, and he's going to take care of it. Now, I say that to say this. Our church is much like Israel that had been in bondage. This isn't a group of entrepreneurs and wealthy people that are going to just give abundantly so that we never have to have a loan. God's choosing to use a bunch of common, ordinary, everyday, run of the earth, soul of the earth, common people. Amen. Praise God. By the way, my Bible says Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost, and it says that he ministered to the common man. We're building a common man's church. We're not going to go out into suburbia, into the wealthy neighborhoods, and take a survey to find out how they think we should build a church. We've already taken the survey. It's called the Word of God. We're just doing it his way. We're going to build it his way. Now, now I'm going to make a statement here. I long for you to personally know how good it is to be blessed by God. I do. Man, we prayed. We had a group of businessmen that wanted to donate possibly money to our church, and God opened the door and gave us $45,000 from that group of people. Scot-free. Check's in the mail as soon as we set the date, which has already been preset. And so the check will be in the mail probably Tuesday this week to get here when we need it. Can I tell you something? We begged and begged and begged and begged and begged and begged and begged God, and God's favor was upon us, and God gave us that. Praise the Lord. But may I say this, we don't have a lot of people like that around the world that want to give us a bunch of money. Now, listen to me carefully here. Grace Baptist Church is not going to be a building. Grace Baptist Church is going to be a people. Grace Baptist Church will not be known by the structure on the outside. It will be known by the people inside. Amen. Can I tell you something? You're not going to like the colors. Just decide ahead of time. It's not what you would have picked out. But I didn't ask you, so don't worry about it. Amen. Your Sunday school room isn't going to be exactly the way you want it right away. But just accept the fact it sure beats what we're doing right now. I got folks out here. I got folks stuck in my office. I got folks there. We've got kids crammed in downstairs. We've got a nursery in a spot that was, we had bathrooms twice the size of the whole nursery. I mean, we've reduced on purpose so that we can control the outgo so we can make up for it in the loans that we need to build a property. We went from $8,000 a month payments and utilities to about $2,000 a month. But you have to understand, the payment on the bond is over $1,000 a month. If you're going to borrow $500,000, you're talking about another $2,500-$3,000 a month. So we've got to have that. And I'm. And by the way, none of us are rich. If you are, give it. I'm not here to fleece anybody. And by the way, I don't have a whole lot to give. But I did cut my salary $15,000 till we get into the new building at least and make sure we can make payments. I might not have it sitting in the bank, but I can control how much goes out. And I reduced it that much so that I can. And by the way, if I got to reduce it again, I'll reduce it again. Just so you know, if I got to go work a job, I'll go work a job. But this church is moving forward for God. Everybody doing all right? I'm having fun right now. Now, Grace Baptist Church is not going to be known as a building. It's going to be known as a people. I said this Wednesday night. Some of you weren't here. Many of you may have been out. I sat at a meeting with two bankers this week in town. They said, well, what kind of promotion and what kind of advertisement do you do? I reached in my pocket. I pulled out a gospel tract. I said, we pass these out, knocking on doors, inviting people to come to church and tell them about Jesus.
Amen.
The head lone man looked at me and said, oh, I've seen those. Your people have knocked on my door. The lady sitting across the desk beside me said, oh, you've knocked on my door too. They're both saved to go to another church in the area. And I said, that's how we've done it. I said, we have knocked on every door in this county. We have knocked on almost every door in Jefferson County. I said, we have knocked on a lot of Winchester. I said, we care about people. We're out on the streets at least twice a week, knocking on doors, telling folks about Jesus Christ. That's the promotion we've used. He said, I've never heard about that. He should not have ought to said that. I said, it's in the book of Acts from house to house. He said, you know, Pastor, you're right. I said, and that's why God's blessing it, and that's why you're going to loan me the money I need for my church. He said, you don't give up, do you? I said, not till you give me the loan I need for my church. I stood up, I reached out my hand, and I said, I believe God wants this church built. I said, God's going to do it his way. I'd like to do business with you so that God could bless your work here. I said, why don't you invest in God's work, not worry about some of the things that the people above you. I said, you think churches are bad investments because they're not secure. I said, nobody's job is secure these days. I said, I'll promise you, God's hand on Grace Baptist Church is security enough. Amen. Take that to your bosses and tell them. He said, Pastor, I've never met anybody like you. I said, that's not my fault. I said, the door's open for you. You can come visit. I said, I'm not arrogant. He said, no, you're not. He said, but I've never seen anybody with the confidence you have in the work. I said, you don't know the people of God and the work of God like I do. I said, God wants this church built. I just need a place to put all everybody at. I said, we're crammed into every space. I said, if you knew what my people are sacrificing right now, as far as comfort goes, so that we can build this building, you'd give me my money yesterday. He said, you don't give up, do you? I said, not till the check's in hand. Now, that was on Monday. On Friday, he called me. He said, Pastor, he said, I tried to get to some things. Some of the people that need to look at this are out. He said, it's going to be another week. I apologize, but just so you know, we're working on it. He called me. I like that. Say, what's that mean? I don't know yet, but at least he called me. Now, just as in the days of Ezra, a church building needs to be built. It's not just the construction of a building. It's a building for the work of God. I told the bankers this. I have told you this time and time again. I'm going to say it again. We are not going to build the building ourselves. We're going to pay somebody to build the building. Now, we could save a little bit of money if we do the work. But can I tell you something? I don't want to lose church members by doing that. I've watched too many churches take too long to build a building. They fuss. They feud with one another. Jimbo come in on Monday and work on something. And then Mike's going to come in on Tuesday to finish the project and say, oh, I don't like how Jimbo did it, so I'm going to rip it out and do it over because he didn't do it right. And then Wednesday night at church, they're going to get together and talk about it. And they're going to fuss with one another because they didn't agree with either one how it was supposed to have been done. And I've watched church after church after church after church do that mess, and we're not doing it. Say, what are you going to do? We're going to stay out, knocking on doors, telling people about Jesus Christ, tell them how to get saved, bring them to church, pack this place out, and force God to hurry up with the building.
That's good. I like it.
We're going to do his work. We'll pay somebody else to do the structure portion of things. I'm not being foolish with our money. We're being wise in building a work for God.
Right.
I don't... we've moved from hotel to hotel, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, to a building over by the VA, move from the VA to here. Did you know we've not lost one person in any of the moves? That's unheard of. That's unheard of. Matter of fact, we're gaining people. How many churches do you know that are adding to on a regular basis? Now, can I say something? We've had over 190 visitors in the last 7 months of this year. for a little old church stuck in the upper room. Amen. That's awesome. That's the hand of God. Now, I don't want to build a building that we focus on the building. Did you know most hospitals are not beautiful to look at?
That's right.
I want to build a church that's a hospital. A place where people that are sick come in. I don't want to build a museum. We don't want to look back at what did happen. We want to bring people in and show them what is happening. This is a place where we're going to help meet people's needs. Can I tell you something? We're going to have sinners come in. That's why you're here. That's why I'm here. We're all sinners in need. See, well, I know somebody in your church. They're a sinner. I know Brother Stoltz, and I know some of the things about his life. Well, do you want us to get up and talk about all we know about your life? Number one, you knowing about it and us knowing about yours isn't going to change anything. It's between you and God, not between us and you. So we'll build the hospital. I want our church ready for the next step. I would consider this a little bit of a Sunday night sermon, but some of you don't come on Sunday night and you need to hear it on Sunday morning, so I'm going to give it to you. As we speak, the money is being transferred so that we can close on the property. But that means this, we've got more work to do for God. We don't need to back off and say, okay, let's see what God's going to do. We need to push harder and get ready for the next step. Let me ask you a question. In 4, 5, 6, 8, 9 months when the building's done and we move into it, however long it takes. And by the way, we're not going to get a shovel out and start digging as soon as the closing's done because we don't have the wherewithal yet to do it. But may I say this, when the building is done, what's going to change in your life? Are you going to be ready for it? Our church isn't going to stay this size. It's going to grow. And it's going to grow quickly. When you put a new building up, people come to see. And when people come to see Grace Baptist Church, they're going to want to stay. They like what's here. So are you ready for the next step in our building process? I call this getting ready to build. Getting ready to build. Let me take the next 16 minutes and help you. There's a little outline here in Ezra 7. Verse number 10 says, "For Ezra prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel the statutes and judgments." Number one, Ezra prepared his heart for the job ahead. Ezra prepared his heart for the job ahead. Can I tell you something? You need to get your heart ready for the new building. Amen. That means your heart's got to be right in this building.
Amen.
I know those steps are hard. That's why we got an elevator. I know it's plain and a little ugly in here. Just take the mirror down. It'll be a little better for you men. All right? I realize that it's not the prettiest place. Brother Stoltz and I were... Ron, shut that door for a second. I better be careful here. I realize almost every service I got to go out there and take the leaf blower and blow all the cigarette butts up and clean them up so that you're not walking across 40,000 cigarette butts to get to church. Because all the other people in this area that just live like pigs and throw them on the ground. And I'm not mad at them. They don't know any better. But guess what? I don't mind doing that. But when we get to our new property, we're not going to have to do that. Amen?
Amen.
The leaf blower is going to be for blowing the dirt and the leaves. Amen. Can I tell you something? I realize we're tight. When that businessman walked in here to help give us the $45,000, he said, "Preacher, where do you put them all?" I said, "That room, that room, that room, and out here and downstairs." I walked him downstairs. He said, "Oh, my soul." He said, "You need a building." I said, "That's why you're here." I said, "You give it, we'll build her." Amen. Now, wait a minute. That means this. You need to get in your Bible more. This is not time just because God gave us one victory to say, "Okay, God's done. Let's see what he does." Oh, no, 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 no. We've got to get in our Bible more. Notice it says, "For Ezra prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord." Oh, my soul, this is the law of the Lord.
Amen.
The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. That means this. Not only should we be reading the Bible and studying the Bible more, I'm going to make a statement here. Many of you ought to be in all the church services.
Yeah.
You learn the Bible by being in church in Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night.
Yes, sir.
My wife and I were talking about this recently. It's sad. We live in a generation that doesn't know there's more than just Sunday morning church. Did you know there's Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and all three are different? I don't preach the same sermon at 6 o'clock tonight that I preached this morning. We don't have church number two that comes in at 6 o'clock tonight. Say, why? You eat three times a day. Some of you eat more than that. But you eat three times a day. You ought to have three spiritual meals at least every week. You need to be here. It'll strengthen you. You'll get stronger. Say, well, I'm spiritual enough. I don't need church. That shows how unspiritual you are. For somebody to make a statement that arrogant, you don't know as much as you think you know. My Bible says in the book of Hebrews, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. So much the more. Guess what? You need more church, not less church. I've been preaching for 36 years. Do you know how many times I've been in church? I'm 49 years old and been in church for 50 years. You say, that's impossible. I went to church for 9 months before I was hatched.
Right.
Trust me, I've been in church my whole life. Can I tell you something? I need it more every day. Did you know that your preacher listens to preaching? By the way, not on the radio.
Amen.
Most of those yard birds aren't worth wasting your time on. I listen to preaching. Good night. I listen to J. Frank Norris, Dr. Hiles, Brother Roloff, Brother Robertson, sometimes Dr. Hudson, Joe Boyd. I listen to all the old preachers, the old church building preachers. You say, why? Because I need preaching as much as you do.
Amen.
By the way, when I stand here and preach, I preach to me.
Yes, sir.
I'm not running from conference to conference to conference to conference to get myself charged up to go do the work of God. Can I tell you something? Any man of God that doesn't have enough oomph in himself to get charged up, you need more than a conference. You need to get right with God. I'm for going to a conference when it's needed or helpful, but if you got to have four conferences a year just to keep yourself going, something's wrong. You're relying on somebody else to pump you up. Can I tell you something? I don't have anybody pump me up but God. I love what Dr. Anderson said. I picked him up at the airport, and he said, preacher, isn't it a shame the only person you have to talk to is God? Preacher, isn't it a shame the only person you have to tell your needs to is God? Preacher, isn't it a shame that the only person that you have to run to when you need help is God? Isn't it a shame? I said, yeah, it's a shame, but I'm sure having fun with it.
Amen.
I'm not going to come to you and tell you what my needs are. I'm the leader. I'm supposed to be carrying this. Now, I'm here for you to come and let me help you, but may I say this, we have got to get in the Word of God, get around the Word of God, not less, more. That means this, we ought to be giving like we're supposed to, scripturally. God said we should tithe. I don't mention this very often, but I will say this, you obey God, God will bless your personal finances as well as God's finances. And it's not, well, if I give, God's going to give back to me. No, you obey. That's the whole key. Obey. That means this. We're supposed to go soul winning. See, I told you I wasn't going to spend long on your money. We're supposed to tell others about Jesus Christ. That wasn't for certain people. That's for everybody. That's for everybody. Did you know we're supposed to act right, dress right, and live right so that the world says something's different about them and I want what they want? Folks, I'm for having fun. I'm for scavenger hunts in the rain. And Brother Stoltz had some BB guns set up and some tin cans and different things. And we were shooting things for a few minutes out there yesterday. I'm not against those things. I'm not against you guys going hunting. I'm going hunting. I like it. I believe in obeying the scripture. Rise, kill, and eat. Amen? I'm for it. I have no problem at all with that. I got my buck. I can't wait to get my new office so I can put my buck back up in the office. Amen. He's laying down at the house right now, but I'm ready to put him back on the wall somewhere. Can I tell you something? I'm for all those things, but when those things take more precedence than doing the work of God, something's not right. Something's not right. I'm for you working. And I understand so every once in a while you're going to have to work a shift to miss church, but I think our work ought not be as important as church. Ezra got as many people around him to grow as possible. Notice it said, Ezra prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach it. Can I tell you something? We're supposed to be going out, getting people, bringing them to church and teaching them what we know. Let me say that again. We're supposed to go out, bring people to church and teach them what we know. Say, well, preacher, I don't know enough to teach them. Then get here more so you can learn to bring somebody in. And if you can't teach them, bring them anyway, and we'll teach them. That's what it's all about. that means this, more visitors. Mm-hmm. Say, when are we going to quit this visitors thing? When we go to heaven.
Amen.
You know, we haven't, Brother Rob, don't tell Brother Fugit get this. I already did. We haven't had a church spring or fall program in 2.5 years.
Yep.
I know that's un-Baptist. But we've had visitors for 2.5 years every Sunday but 5. Why change what's working? I'd rather us be focused on having visitors every week than to have 5 weeks and push twice a year and have visitors 10 weeks out of the year and don't worry about the other 42 weeks. I'm for having visitors every week. By the way, you don't have to have a program to have visitors. We've proven that. We haven't given away popsicles. And we had one push this year in May. We had a scavenger hunt. We had 10 visitors that day. We had 7 adults and 3 kids. We had 3 extra on the bus, and we had 7 adults drive in that didn't even participate. Can I tell you something? I like that. Say, when are we going to quit this visitors thing? When I quit breathing, or when we are all in heaven together? But we ought to be after new people all the time. That means this, we ought to be focused on people, not a building. And may I say this, you need to learn to rely on your preacher a little bit. I don't mean to be vain. I am no better than you, fellas. I got up this morning and put my britches on the same way you did. I'm made out of the same sinful flesh you're made out of. But God's called me to help a group of people as his representative, as his assistant, as his pastor of this group of people, this local group of people, to help you. That means this. When you're sick and in the hospital, give me a shout so I can come visit you and pray for you. Or somebody that you know, let me go help them. Say, well, preacher, you're busy. I don't want to bother you. You bother me when you don't tell me. Amen, Wally? She smirked at me. She knew it was coming. Can I tell you something? That's why I'm here. If I'm too busy to help God's people, I'm too busy.
Yep.
I'll get up earlier to do office work, but I'll be there when you need me as much as I can be to be there and help you. That means this. When you have need, come ask me my advice and let me help you. Let me counsel you. You got a problem you don't know how to fix. Come get some advice. That's what I'm here for, and I got to hurry. So, number one, Ezra prepared his heart for the job ahead. Grace Baptist Church, number two, they strengthened their hands for the work. Look at Ezra chapter 6. Just one page back, maybe. Verse 22, the last verse says, "And kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with joy, for the Lord hath made them joyful, and turned the heart of the king of Assyria unto them, to strengthen their hands in the work of the house of God, the God of Israel." Brother Ron, crack that door open again. I'm about to die. I got water running down my back. Whew. There's going to be a puddle on the floor, Brother Stoltz, but don't worry, it's just sweat. All right? That's all I can tell you. Don't worry. Can I tell you something? We're supposed to strengthen our hands for the work of God. That means this. There's work to be done. We're going to have trees to clear. We're going to... That property was a tree nursery. I hate to tell you something, but there's about 14 truckloads of pots up there. Okay? Not the kind some of you smoke either. I'm talking about little plastic things. And I mean, there's a ton of them up there. We're going to have a cleanup day up there as soon as we close on the property. Say, what for? We're going to gather all those things up. I'm going to try to find somebody to take them away for free. I'll give them to them. I don't care. But there's just a lot of junk. We're going to end up having a huge bonfire one of these days. After we knock down the trees and limb them out and get rid of the logs, there's going to be enough brush there to probably set half the state on fire.
Good.
Brother Barnes, get your kerosene and a lighter ready. Amen. Can I tell you something? There's going to be work to be done. When we get ready to move into the building, we've got stuff. We've got it everywhere.
Yes, sir.
I mean, we got it everywhere. And we're going to need help getting it all in. That's okay. We're going to need help cleaning the buildings afterwards. We're going to have to stay up with it. Now, I say all that to say this. We need as many people as possible to all services so that you grow strong enough so that we can meet the needs of more people that come. Do you know we're going to need more ushers? Do you know we're going to need more Sunday school teachers and helpers? Do you know we're going to need more nursery workers? You can push it almost all the way too, but not all the way, all right? Did you know we're going to need folks to help with greeting at doors? I need all that. We're going to have more doors, praise the Lord. We're going to have more exits, praise the Lord. We're going to have adequate heating and air conditioning. Glory to God. But did you know there's going to be, I'm needing you to stay in and stay faithful now to be strengthened so that when we get there, we can plug all the holes and bring more people in. But I need you getting strong enough now so that you can. Say, well, preacher, I just can't walk. Well, I'll plop you down on a chair and you can sit there and shake people's hands while you sit. I don't care. We're going to need each family to reach families. Can I tell you something? If every family in this church reach one family in the next 5 months, I believe God will help us get that building up in a hurry. When we made this move before we came into this building, I told you, we're going to put God on a limb. We're going smaller. We're going to keep growing.
Amen.
We're going to force God's hand a little bit. He wants to see how serious we are. Well, we've already had Sundays where we've had to put some people in the hallway to listen because we just packed it out. This is the middle of summer. Look, folks, we got folks away. We got folks not here. I counted probably over 25 people not here this morning or more. You just wait till fall hits. We're in trouble. I'm going to need volunteers to sit in the hallway and not play on their stupid telephones either.
Uh-oh.
Thought I'd just say that. We need every family to reach a family. If every family reached a family, guess what? I believe God will help us get that structure up faster so we can fill it up. I about had a spell in the banker's office this week. He said, Pastor, you don't look like the kind of pastor that's content with the building size the way it is. Is this built for any expansion? I dotted a line across there, moved this over here, said that'll turn into two Sunday school rooms there. I can move that back 15 feet, buy me enough time to put that building in when you give me the loan for that building too. He just shook his head. He said, you got it planned out, don't you? I said, yes, sir. And just so you know, I said, I plan on having everything paid off or just about paid off so that I can get the loan to put that building in. And you're going to help me with that one, aren't you?
Amen.
You say, you really believe that? Yes, I do.
Amen.
I really do. And that's not power of positive thinking. That's stupid. This is God's work. And that's what I told him. I said, you have to understand, this isn't my work. This is God's work. This is God's house. We're just stewards of it, doing it God's way. I said, I need you to provide the help so that we can build it. God will take care of the structure of it while we go out and fill it up. I said, that's what it's all about. Then I told him our church is going to be a hospital, not a museum. Boy, was he scratching his head. I was hoping he didn't get splinters in his fingers. Now, we've got to strengthen our hands for the work. Number three, and this is the point that I really want to, I'd love to spend about a half hour here. I don't have it. Some of you, your belly will growl too loud if I did. But number three, let's keep God's hand upon Grace Baptist Church.
Amen.
Let's keep God's hand upon Grace Baptist Church. Probably pray more for God to keep his hand on this church than anything I pray for. By the way, not just keep his hand on me, keep it on our church. God will bless a group of people, not just one man. He'll use one man to help lead this group. There's got to be one leader. Anything with more than two heads is a monster, just so you know. All right? We don't need things going in opposite directions here. And God put a head there. You know, you only have one head.
Yeah.
And some of you need to utilize it. Did you know that if something had two heads, we'd call it freakish? That's why we don't have more than one head here. You know, if I had three heads growing out, you'd say, okay, we're not going back there, children. You know, which one do you listen to? It's kind of like listening to Hillary. I mean, sorry, I didn't mean to say that. You know, anything with more than one head is a monster. Can I tell you something? God wants to place his hand and has placed his hand on this church. Supernaturally. You don't have to have been saved very long and been in church very long to understand this isn't the norm. It's not. And it's not because of me. It's not my bright, shiny, warm personality, that's for sure. You know, there are people that can walk in and light the room up. I walk in, they say, who opened the door? You know, I understand that. It's not been built on personality. It's been built on begging God to keep his hand on the work here. And every week for the last 4 years almost, we have seen people saved, lives changed. We've seen hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of visitors. And we're doing God's work, God's way, with God's book. Guess what? God's pleased with that, and he was wanting to put his hand on it. I wish you could hear my wife. I had my phone on speaker when that businessman called me this week and said, you have something special there. He said, I've been in church work a long time. I've never seen a church like this, Pastor. You have something very, very unique there. I said, I can't help where you're going to church. I said, but we're excited about it. He said, I haven't talked to any of your people yet that aren't. I said, I got a whole church full of them. We have to do it his way, though. Listen to this statement. We have to focus on the needs of people, not buildings. We have to focus on seeing people saved and lives changed, not what color the carpet and the walls are.
Yes.
We have to focus on meeting the needs of the people spiritually, not where's my Sunday school class going to be?
Right.
What position am I going to have? How about we focus on doing God's work? How about we just say, God, whatever you want, I'll do it.
Amen.
May I say this? We need to be focused on him and let him bring the results. Now, listen to this statement very carefully here. I don't put a lot of stock in numbers, but I keep track of everything. Did you know I'm not required to produce? I'm required to sow. Did you know when you go soul winning, God didn't say if you come back and didn't have somebody saved, you're not right with God. Nobody plants corn today and harvests tomorrow. Now, may I say this? That would be nice, but it doesn't happen that way. Some plant, some water, some reap the increase. If you went soul winning yesterday and had somebody saved, it's because somebody else did groundwork before. It all works together. But may I say this? So many times we're so focused on results. Well, I went soul winning 3 times and I didn't see anybody saved. It doesn't work. God didn't command you to see people saved. He commands you to go out and spread the gospel to every creature. It's up to him to see the results, not you. When the mailman comes by your house, he doesn't look through your bills and say, well, I don't think Rich can handle all these. I'll hold these 3 bills off for a month and I'll just give him this one and he can get the late notice on the other 3. That mailman's going to get fired, isn't he? Who are you to play God? When I knock on a door, I see some big old burly guy. Got beard and tattoos. Probably got a can of beer in his hand. And I'm thinking, there ain't no way in the world that guy's going to listen to me. 6'4", 250 pounds, he's going to eat me for lunch. I'll talk to him for a second, and I'll say, Are you 100% sure you're going to heaven? No. I'll pull my Bible out. I'll take in 1 John 5:13, Romans 3:10, Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23, Revelation 20:14-15, back to Romans chapter 10, verse 9 through 13. Watch that big old burly fellow bow his head and trust Jesus Christ as a Savior and say, woo-hoo! I see some guy come to the door dressed like I'm dressed, thinking, this guy's sharp. He's going to listen. I get out of my mouth. I'm Pastor Bush from Grace Baptist Church, and usually by that time, the door's going pow in my face. Now, if I were to look at it, I'd think the guy in the suit would have listened to me. But can I tell you something? Not my job. I'm supposed to give it. Jesus said, if they don't listen, shake the dust off your feet and go talk to somebody that'll listen. Our responsibility is to get it out. Our responsibility is to go out and bring people in. It's not your fault if they stick or if they don't stick. Now, quit being a stinking long-tongued gossip and they will stay a little bit better. And we don't have that problem. That's why I can say it that way. Don't worry. But we need to be focused on a relationship with God so that people want what we have here. I told somebody this week, you just come. You come one time, I'll promise you, you'll see something you haven't seen in another church. I'll promise you. I said, you come, we'll love on you there. We're not worried about the past. Let's just keep going for the future. We need to look around and not worry about what's going on around us with other churches and other people and other families. People may even that have been here and left and are gone. Can I tell you something? You just keep doing what you're supposed to do. Have your relationship right with your God. Have God's hand upon you and your family and watch what God can do. Well, I had a friend and they're not in church anymore and I'm just so depressed. God didn't die. And please don't take this as arrogant, but I've seen more people get out of church than you even know. I have. I've seen more people get out of church than you even know. Now, look at me. Everything's okay. Everything's all right in my father's house. She's just taking him out to beat him. It's her son. He won't behave, so she's going to whoop him. Can I tell you something? Quit looking around. Look up. We're so concerned about what's going on around that we become lost. We become prodigaled. We become like the lost sheep. Did you know that in the parable of the lost sheep, the other sheep didn't go looking for the stray sheep? The shepherd did. It's not your job to go after somebody. That's my job. You stay in the fold and keep reproducing in the fold. That's your job. Keep your eyes on him and everything will be okay. Well, what happens if my... But that's my friend. I love that sheep. For you to leave the fold and go after that sheep, you become stray yourself. I've watched it over and over and over and over and over again. Well, I'm just going to sit here depressed because my friend's not here anymore. Why don't you go out and win a new friend? Quit vacuuming the carpet with your lower lip and go out and win somebody to Jesus and bring him in and watch what God can do.
Amen.
Now, Grace Baptist Church, we have a great work before us. Just as in the days of Ezra, there's a building to build, but in the process of building the building, let's not let the work of God go undone. The building of the building is a part of the work of God, but it's not the work of God. The work of God is people, not a building. And as we go forward with our building project, let's not get focused on a big, beautiful building. Let's get focused on seeing visitors every week, seeing God's hand on us, seeing us growing and being ready so that as soon as the doors open, we can plug all the holes. That's what God wants for Grace Baptist Church. I'm going to say this. People in this room, if you died today, you're not sure you go to heaven. I hate to tell you something. If you died, you'd be on your way to a place called hell. I didn't say that. God did. Death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I didn't write it. Say, well, how could a loving God throw anybody into hell? He doesn't. You choose it.
Amen.
God has the same punishment on sin for man that he had on Satan and the angels that followed Satan in heaven. See, Satan and or Lucifer fell in heaven before man was created. God created hell for the devil and his angels. When God created man, man listened to the devil and committed the same sin that the devil committed. And God's justice requires the same punishment for sin. Be like saying if Brother Stoltz ran a stop sign, got a ticket, but Mrs. Lopez runs a stop sign, and the officer says, well, I'll let you go, that wouldn't be fair. It wouldn't be just. God is perfectly just and requires the same punishment for the same sin. So when man chose to sin, he chose to go to hell. Can I tell you something? God loved man more than he loved Lucifer. God sent Jesus Christ to be born of a virgin, live a sinless life, shed his blood on the cross and die, and 3 days and three nights later, resurrect and come up out of the grave, conquer death, put his blood on the mercy seat in heaven to pay our sin debt for us. He did not do that for the devil. But he did do it for man. God loved you enough to do all of that so that you didn't have to die and go to hell. It's not joining this church. It's not getting baptized. It's not living a good life. It's trusting Jesus Christ and what he did for you and that alone at Calvary to take care of your sins. People here, you've been saved, never baptized. Let's just get it cared for. Maybe you need to join the church. Let's get it cared for. Let's get ready for the work that's ahead for Grace Baptist Church. Hey, everybody in here, there's somebody for you to go out and reach. Everybody, there's somebody here for you to go out and reach. We all have a great work to do. Let's do the work of God. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Who would say, preacher, if I died today, I know 100% sure that I would go to heaven. I know that for sure. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Thank you. I will not embarrass you, I will not call you out, but there were hands that could not go up. Who would say, preacher, if I died today, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. I'll not call you out. I'll not embarrass you. I'll not come to you personally and talk, but I'd like to know. You say, preacher, I'm not sure, but I'd like to someday know for sure I could go to heaven. Would you raise your hand? All right. Who'd say, preacher, there's something inside that sermon I needed today. Maybe it touched a reset button. Maybe it stirred something in me I didn't know I needed to be doing, but something in that sermon today is what I needed. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You may put your hands down. If you've been saved, never been baptized, you come forward when the music begins. We can take care of that. Maybe you want to join the church. You come as in a moment when the piano begins to play. We'll stand when it does, and we'll sing. Brother Stoltz will sing, but may I say this? Whatever the need, maybe you just raised your hand and said, the Lord's touched me about something, you come. You come.